Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. We continue our series, I Love Church. You know, it's more than a catchy phrase. It's more than just a tagline to a series. I can truly say I love church. As I prayed, it's a God idea. It is not a man idea. And sometimes we maybe just need to readjust our vision. Maybe we just need to see some things more clearly or see things again. So unapologetically this morning, I want to be very practical in my sermon. I want to share a couple of points and a lot of stories just to wrap that around. Because I want us maybe to readjust our thinking of vision of what the local church is and what the local church should be doing. Is that all right? Will you go with me this morning? So I'm reading from Matthew chapter 25 as he puts on his glasses. Reading from verse 31, it should come up on the screen. Now, what's interesting is in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus here is actually talking about the end times. So we really need to sort of tune in and see, okay, what is the Son of God saying about the end times, which will be very helpful for us here and now. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Now Jesus is talking here to the sheep, the church, you and I, those who believe in him. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Now listen to this, it goes on. "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food, I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There are a couple of things that I just want to pull from this scripture, which I think will help us to understand what it means to be a believer and what it means to be part of the local church. And I would say that this are things that I feel very strongly, Apex Church, that these are the things that we not should be, but we must be doing in order to accomplish all that God has called us to be. I love the local church. So a couple of things that I see from this scripture. Here's number one. At Apex Church, we keep Jesus center of it all. Did you get that? Jesus is center of everything we do. And we see that from the scripture because Jesus says these words, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink." Jesus, in John chapter 6, he refers to himself as the bread of life. I love bread, don't you? I love it, but it doesn't love me. It tends to put more calories on me than is necessary. But I love bread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In John chapter 4, he says, speaks about the fact that he is everlasting water. He is bread and he is water. You know what we must do as a local church? We have got to keep Jesus center of everything we do. People come in from all walks of life experiencing many, many different things. They come in having a good week, a bad week. People aren't coming to church on a Sunday morning to hear about a church's agenda. They don't want to hear about an agenda. They want to hear about a Savior. And we have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Could you imagine going to KFC and arriving there? I heard someone did this a wee while ago. They went to KFC, and guess what? KFC had no chicken. KFC with no chicken. It doesn't even make sense, does it? It would be like going to the chip shop and them telling you that they've run out of fish. That would just be wrong. And here at church, I think that it's so important that all around on this Sunday morning, there are men that are getting up, they're preaching about the latest fad, the latest thing, what's happening around the world. They're talking about Brexit, and I have no problem with that. But what I would say is this, that when you talk about Brexit, you've got to bring in the fact that our God, he still holds the nations as a drop in the bucket. You cannot get into politics as a local church without speaking about the fact that our God is still in control. And if we want to be a church that's successful, if we want to be a church that is moving forward, we must keep Jesus center of everything we do. I have a dear friend, Jeff Spence, and a couple of years ago, I was in London with Jeff. We went for a meal. Eddie, you were there. There were a few of us there. We went for a meal, and we all got our food, but Jeff's food did not arrive. Now, those of you that know Jeff, Jeff is a dairy farmer. He's not shy. He knows what he wants. So Jeff looked around at us all having our food. He looked at the fact he did not have his food. He saw that his food was lying under the lights. Now, the waitresses, they're talking to each other. One of the waitresses, she was on her phone. So guess what my friend Jeff did? He did. Jeff got up from the table. He walked across. He lifted off his meal. He went back and he sat in his seat. Now the manager, everyone's looking around as if to say, what are you doing? We're at the table. We're going, Jeff, what have you just done? Here's what he said. I'm going to be paying for that food and I want my food hot. So if they're not going to bring me my food, I'll go and get my food. Wouldn't it be sad if people came to church looking for the bread of life? And we as a local church, come on folks, that we're not giving people the answer. We're skirting around all the issues. We're doing this. We're doing that. When people are looking for the bread of life, people are looking for living water. Only Jesus can satisfy the needs of hearts. He said, if I be lifted up, he promised this, I will draw all men unto me. We need to lift Jesus up. You know, when you read Acts chapter 2, could you imagine if Peter, full of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, could you imagine if Peter stepped out and began to preach a message of social justice? Now, we believe it's social justice. Peter didn't get up and say, we need to look after you. We need to get you a blanket. We need to get you coffee. And these things are important. You know what Peter did? He gave them the gospel. Read it. He basically got up and says, guess what? You killed Jesus. But the good news is he rose again on the third day. And if you give your heart to him, if you'll turn your lives around, you'll see a change. And the Bible says 3,000, come on, 3,000 responded to the gospel message. Why? Because Peter made Jesus center of everything that was going on. In Acts chapter 3, remember that story of the blind man, and Peter and John are walking past, and they say these words, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we are going to give you. You know what the church would do nowadays? The church would give him money. The church would give him money. He didn't need money. He needed a miracle. And the miracle came from the fact that there were two disciples of Jesus that had been in his presence, that were full of the Holy Spirit, that kept Jesus center, who were able to speak into that situation. In Acts chapter 4, what happens? The Bible says that through the preaching of God's word, 5,000, turn to your neighbor and say, he said 5,000. 3,000, Acts chapter 2, 5,000 men alone in Acts chapter 4 are responding to the good news. Why? Their hearts were stirred. Listen, folks don't need an agenda. Apex Church, folks need to hear the gospel message. That's one thing I love about Apex Church. You'll hear the gospel whether you come on a Sunday morning, whether you come on a Sunday night. We don't have the 6 o'clock. That's only the gospel service. Every service you come to, you're going to hear about Jesus. Why? Because he is still the answer for the world. My heart gets stirred. I'm stirred right now when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Never tire of the gospel. Never get weary. Going from darkness to light, come on, church, from no hope to having hope, come on, church, going to a lost eternity, now we're going to be in everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I love the message of the gospel. That's why we keep Jesus center of it all. Oh, we'll do different series. We'll come from this angle, that angle. Oh, yes, we'll go through the Bible. I tell you, we want to be true disciples, people of understanding. But the key to everything we do is Jesus must be center. Listen, what is the point of understanding all these things but not knowing him? What is the point of being a person of knowledge and yet not being a person of experience? Listen, that's why I love the gospel. It's for the whosoever. It's for those that understand. It's for those of high intellect. It's for those of low intellect. It's for the rich. It's for the poor. It's for the black and the white. It's for, come on, church, and maybe you're here and you're saying, Neil, why are you taking so long to emphasize this fact? Because this is the reason that Apex Church exists, to make Jesus center of everything we do, whether it's the kids' work, whether it's the youth work, whether it's some of the older things, whatever is going on, you'll see that it all comes back around the mountain to Jesus' center of it all. Come on, church. And if we want to be successful, if we want to be the true church, I don't care how modern we're getting. I don't care as we move into this new age of liberal thinking and everything that's going on. I can hear my dad right now, all the liberal theologians and everything that's going on. We're not sure about this and we're not sure of that. One thing I am sure of, we were sinners bound for lost eternity, but Jesus came. And when I responded, you know what? Instantaneously, I became a follower of Jesus Christ. That is the wonder of the gospel. You can use highfalutin words. You can keep it simple. It doesn't matter. Here's what Jesus simply says. Come. Amen. Do you notice that? He just simply says, come to me, everyone who is weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the power of the gospel. Here at Apex Church, we're more concerned about others than we are about ourselves. We're concerned about the outsider as much as we are the insider. You know, I've spent all my life really in church world, being in ministry for so many years now. And I guess been around and seen a lot and heard a lot. And one of the interesting things I've heard just going around some churches is this fact that especially for some reason, some of the smaller churches, I've actually heard people articulate that they like to be a small group of people where everybody knows everyone, where it really has this nice, comfy feeling, where we can just come together and it's just this safe environment for us to all love Jesus. And I love that fact, and that's great. But you know, that's not the purpose of church. Because Jesus said these words. He says, I was a stranger and you took me in. You know what the church is about? It's a place where strangers are welcome. If you really want an interesting exercise, and I hope you guys found this morning, that if you go and perhaps you're visiting a church, that I hope you go and you really feel a good welcome. I hope you felt welcome. Welcome, it's great to see you. So glad you're with us, etc., etc. But if you really want an interesting exercise, and Phyllis and I have done this on several occasions, is when we've gone to visit other churches just to see what the church experience is like. Now, it usually goes something like this. Phyllis, I'm taking my pastor's hat off this morning. I'm just going to enjoy the service. I'm not going to be looking for anything in particular. I'm just going to relax. And she goes, it's never going to happen. You're going to be paying attention to everything. So I've told you this story before. There was a church that I was really excited to visit. It was quite a large church. I'd heard a lot about it. I'd heard a lot about their programming and the different things that they do. So Phyllis and I, we went to visit this church and drove into the parking lot, got out of the car, made our way into the building, and not one person says, "Good to see you. Welcome." We walked past, listen to this, we walked past the visitor's lounge. They actually had a visitor's lounge with someone standing outside who I'm presuming is looking for people that are new. Now, I've got to say this. I'm not saying that Phyllis and I stand out. But there wasn't too many black people there. That's all I'm saying. So I'm sort of, I don't know if you've ever done this, I'm sort of walking past the visitor's lounge slowly because I wanted to get into the visitor's lounge to see how they looked after the visitors. So I'm sort of walking past the visitor's lounge, and as I just get to where the guy outside is, one of his friends from inside calls him, so they start having this conversation as I'm walking past. Phyllis at this point has had enough, so she's now in the bookshop. She's gone to browse the bookshop because she's just like, wow, this is interesting. I'm a stranger. Surely someone's going to notice. So I've said this before, so I make myself big. You know what I mean? And when I am there with Phyllis, I'm sort of speaking loudly with a Scottish accent, which sort of signifies, wait a minute, there's a black guy with a Scottish accent. He doesn't normally come to our church. Still nothing. Sit down, go through the service. The only time that someone spoke to me was when the usher was passing the offering bucket and tapped me on the shoulder. Boom. We came out of there so shocked. Now, here's the deal. I actually know a couple of the trustees of that church. So guess what? I called them. Not to be critical, but just to say, do you know that if that was someone's first experience in church, they probably would never have gone back again? Isn't it amazing that we can get so comfortable in church life that we forget that Jesus said that it is so important that we welcome, come on church, the stranger into our midst, the person that maybe is here for the first time. You know, someone said to me, but wait a minute, I love to speak to my friends, and it's the time that we connect. And you can speak to your friends anytime. Maturity is laying down your rights for others. You know, when Neely was born, when our firstborn was, when Neely first arrived, you know, I never turned to Phyllis and said, you know, I'm really inconvenienced by this child. Come on, parents. Have you ever noticed, Andrew? Have you ever noticed children are very selfish? If they decide it's time for them to eat, it doesn't matter if you've got food on the table. Come on, parents. If they decide that they want to be looked after, in fact, I remember on several occasions where we'd come into the house and I'd be coming back from the office and Neely maybe was playing up or whatever was going on just as a young child. I never said, selfish child, get him out of the house. He is not welcome. When he starts to behave himself, when he's more considerate, when he's more respectful, then he can come back into the house. No, not at all. Why? Because he was a child. And he was just beginning to understand. He didn't know the routine and the rigor of... Now, things haven't changed. Oh, mummy's boy. I'll come into the house. Supper ready. Neely's not home yet. Selfish child. What about me? No, here's what maturity does. I'm making you laugh, but I want you to think about this. Here's what maturity does. Maturity lays down your rights for another. It's understanding it. We want Apex Church to be a place where strangers are welcome, because if we love church, we want people to love church. Jesus said this, I was naked and you clothed me. We help people establish a new identity. If you ever study scripture, it says a lot about garments. Stuart spoke earlier about Lazarus. Perhaps it was in the prayer meeting. Please forgive me. It's interesting. When Jesus went to a funeral, he always shut it down. Do you notice that? He always shut down the funeral. We help people get a new identity. When Jesus says to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Remember that scripture in John chapter 11? He comes forth. He still has grave clothes on. Jesus says, loose him and set him free. The grave clothes are not going to be his identity anymore. Get that thing off him. We need to help people get a new identity. There's things that we need to help people get stuff off of them. Remember the prodigal son? When the prodigal son is making his way home, he's probably in tatters. Here's what his father says. Get him the best robe, get him sandals, and get him a ring. He needs the identity of a son, not the identity of a servant or slave, which is what he wanted. He says, that's not my boy. That's my boy, and he gets the best robe. That's got to do with identity. You know what? We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, all things are passed away, all things become new. And we need to help people understand, when you come to Christ, there's identity transformation. There's something changes. You become part of the family of God, and you belong to him. And that's what church should be. You know the Apostle Paul? Remember when he, in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about his identity, how he identified in his religion, how he identified in his religious works. And he uses a great scripture when he says, Philippians 3, verse 4, he says these words, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Listen to what he says. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. He's saying, when my identity was in my religion, he says, I was blameless. He says, everything about me was, look at what I am doing. But then he says these words, but what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Turn to your neighbor and say, rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Here's what he's talking about. Paul is talking about those who find their identity in religion and self-acts. My identity is not in my religious acts. My identity is in the person of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. It's not about my performance this morning. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. And you may be here this morning, and maybe you feel condemned. You may be here this morning, and maybe the enemy is working on your side. You may be here this morning and making mistakes, as all as we do. Here's the good news. Your identity is not in your works. Your identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. That's why we've got to understand he unconditionally loves us. We're forgiven, we're adopted, we have a future, and we have a blessed hope. That is the good news of what happens when we belong to Jesus Christ. Here's another thing. We are patient with people. Oh, I really like this one. Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. You know what sick people need? People to be patient with them. Do you know there are people who are spiritually sick, and we think that a 7-week Bible study, we think a 4-week program is going to answer that? No, my friend, it won't. There are some people that take longer to get over things than others. We as a church have got to be patient. Once again, when our boys were little, now none of your children were ever sick when they were little, were they? But when our boys were little, there were the odd times that they were sick and they threw up. I remember once going into Christopher's bedroom. I heard him crying. And I went into his bedroom. And here he is, the little thing in his crib. And he'd be sick. And he'd be sick all over the place. And you know, parents, how he gets in your hair, their hair, not your hair, gets in the hair and everything. And he sort of reaches out his hands like this, you know, sort of daddy, daddy. And I'm sort of like, Phyllis, he's crying for you. Once again, you don't sort of go, sick, not having any of that. You know what? You're patient. Why? Because you love them. I found myself using this word a lot. Often people are on a journey. We want people to be the finished article. Often people are on a journey. It was a few months ago, maybe more than that. I'll never forget, and I asked permission to share this story. That after the service, I went up to someone that hadn't been saved too long. And I'm sort of like, hey, it was a good service. And he goes, yeah, it was a bleeping good service, wasn't it? Daniel was there. He was sort of like, I'm like, oh, okay. He says, you were on bleeping fire this morning. I'm like, oh. Now, I didn't go running up. Sinner, you swore in church. Now, I did encourage him not to do it again, or at least not as loud. But you know what? He was newly saved. Come on, church. He was on a journey. We sometimes expect people to be the finished article when they're on a journey. We've got to understand to be patient with people is actually okay. Well, they should know better. All of us should know better. You know, and I remember speaking with this individual, and I'm like, afterwards, because generally this is what would happen in a religious place. He'd be taken aside and taken into the back room and sat down. Now, brother, you're a Christian now. You can't use language like that, especially describing the pastor's preaching. Although I must confess, I felt pretty good about it. You see, even me saying that, some of you are like, oh, that's wrong. It's wrong. He's on a journey. He's on a journey. He's not the finished article yet. He loves Jesus, and he's on a journey of discovery of what it means to become more Christ-like. So the only language that he knew to describe how much he enjoyed what was happening was language that he was familiar with. I'm glad that he's beginning to discover that we don't use these sort of words. But can I say to you, church, maybe we just need to be more patient with people that are on a journey. I passed a sign, and I've passed this sign many times. You've seen it. Message Church. Have you seen that? Message. I'm fascinated by that. Message Church. Because it always seems to describe Message Church, but it's on a Saturday. It's never Message Church on a Sunday. No, Message Church is on a Saturday, and it's for kids. Because we can't have Message Church on a Sunday for adults. Now, I had to look this up, Lee, because I was fascinated. And I'm like, well, what exactly does this mean, Message Church? So here's what it says on their website. Message Church is a form of church for children and adults that involves creativity, celebration,
and hospitality.
That sounds like a Sunday to me. I said, that sounds like a Sunday to me. I said, that sounds like a Sunday to me. Oh, no, no, messy church is for kids. Maybe we need to have more messy church, because maybe more people that don't know Jesus would actually feel more comfortable coming in. Jesus said, we lift him up. So if we keep him center of what we're doing, if we make sure that people are welcoming the stranger, if we help people get a new identity, guess what? It's okay to have messy church. I don't think that when 3,000 were added on one day, I don't think that everything was perfect. Everybody lined up. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, Peter preaching, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, you killed him, you crucified him, he rose again. Now, if you want to respond, lift your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. 3,000. Okay. I want you to form an orderly line. And after we sing, I want you to come down to the front. And you'll receive a pack, and we'll pray for you. And we'll lead you. 3,000 folks. 3,000 folks. Could you imagine if we had 3,000 folk in here this morning? Well, we wouldn't get them in here. I think that would get a wee bit messy. But I believe that there are sick people that need to hear the good news of Jesus. And we have an opportunity through our love of church to make sure that we're patient with folk that are sick. Have you time for one more? We proclaim freedom in Christ. Jesus said these words, I was in prison and you came to me. We must make it our mission to proclaim freedom in Christ. Here's a quick thought. Do you remember a wee while ago when there was that football team, that youth football team? Remember in Thailand? Remember they'd gone into a cave and started to flood? There was this whole rescue operation that was going on. It's interesting because there were people from different cultures that did not speak the whole same language, but people got involved to try and rescue that young team. The rescue effort involved more than 10,000 people, including over 100 divers, many rescue workers, representatives from about 100 governmental agencies, 900 police officers, 2,000 soldiers, and required 10 police helicopters, 7 police ambulances, more than 700 diving cylinders, and the pumping of more than 1 billion liters of water out of the cave. Why? Because there were people that needed rescued. Here's the news of the gospel. There are people who are in prison. It may not be metal, it can be mental. There are people that want to be set free. Come on up the worship path. What do people that are in prison, what do they want? They want to get out. They want to be rescued. They want to be set free. And here's the good news of the gospel. And here's what we must do as a local church. We must do everything we can to rescue people that are going to a lost eternity. How do we do that? We do that with the good news of the gospel. Maybe you're saying, well, Neil, that's just not the sort of church I want to belong to. I want to come where it's nice and comfortable. I want it to be my personal preference. I like the music a certain way. Do you know that those rescuers, those that were involved, no one says, well, what team do those young boys support? Are they Manchester United supporters? Well, I'm a Liverpool supporter. No, I can't go and help. What sort of music do they like? What's their preferences? What's their style? No one asked that question. Here was the deal. People needed rescued. And governments pooled resources together to set those people free. That's the good news of the gospel. And that's why I love church. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, maybe you're here this morning, and this is where we always lift up Jesus. You may be here this morning, you've never asked Christ to come into your heart. You've never responded to him as Lord and Savior. You cannot say this morning that you belong to him. Perhaps you attend church, perhaps you've been to church, but you're honest enough to say you've never committed your life to him. You've never ask Christ to come into your heart, here's the good news. You've heard it as I've been preaching. We've lifted him up. He came, the Son of God. He came to this earth. He died for my sins. He died for your sins that you could come into a relationship with his Father. He played his part. He did what only he could do. Here's what we get to do. We get to respond to the love of Jesus by opening up our life and asking Christ to come in. We make him Lord. We don't just have an association with him. We make him master of our house. I would love to pray with you in all seriousness. I would love for you to respond. Because of the numbers in this room, I can see your hand. I can say that after the service, I will come and pray with you. This is the reason that we meet together. This is why we're here. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. You're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you say, Neil, this morning, I've heard the love of God. And maybe you've been hearing, you've been trying to figure out, well, how do I change my life? How do I become different? How do I stop this and how do I start that? You've heard me say already, here's the wonderful thing about church. We're patient with people who are on a journey. It's a journey. But it starts when you ask Christ to come in and ask him to forgive you of sins. I want to include you in prayer right now. That's you. And you say, Neil, would you pray for me? If that's you, come on, lift that hand. Lift that hand. You're here. You do not know Jesus. Lift that hand. You're here. You need a relationship with him. Come on, lift that hand. You're here and your life is not right with him. Come on, lift that hand. This is why I love church. Because it's the message that sets people free. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you that it changes, it transforms. And Lord, we as a local church, we are on a rescue mission. Father, would you help us to deal with our personal preference? Would you help us to lay aside, Father, our they don't look like us, they don't act like us, they're different to us. Father God, forgive us when we've prejudged people. People that need you. Father, we want to be a church that we welcome the sick, we welcome the lame. We welcome those that are struggling. We welcome those that just don't get it. We welcome those that are inquiring. We welcome those that have made mistakes. We welcome those that have got it wrong. Because, Father, the good news of the gospel is there is always turnaround. So, Father, would you help us, the Apex Church, to lift Jesus up, that all men may be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.